The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. This is Terry Raposa,
Janet Chandler,
and Wynn Carpenter. Good morning, all.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. And if you choose to listen to us online, we stream all around the world, all the time. And you can listen to KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive. Alex, 5 minutes after we're done, right?
Five minutes, yeah. If you're in Dubai, tune in online.
I'm sure they are.
There's a lot of people tuning in online. Trust me.
Hey, Dubai is a happening place now.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of Europeans are going there.
Oh. There you go. I wouldn't want to live in the litter box of the world. I mean,
well, if you've got to go to the Middle East, Dubai is
it's the place
to go.
Spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we'll stay here ready.
Yeah. It gets just as hot. Might as well just stay
yeah,
here.
Well, yeah. Probably
no
hotter.
Sand.
Yeah. During the summer. We digress.
Always.
Yep. And we archive 5 minutes after, as I was saying, and mm-hmm. we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Janet Amendis.
Yes.
She did. So anyway, we're going to talk today about the candidates that are running for Supervisor District 5, District 1. We're also going to have, we've invited each one of them on in the process of inviting a couple more from District 1. I haven't got a hold of them yet. So during the coming weeks, we'll have these candidates on. We'd like to have them for the full hour so we can really get into what they want to do and have them answer the questions. But before we do anything, I want to wish a happy Valentine's Day to my bride, Sally.
There you go.
And also to Lori Bridgeford. Lori Bridgeford is probably the kindest person in this county. I mean, she is, everybody that thinks that Lori Bridgeford should be our person of the year, say aye.
Aye. An ambassador of goodwill.
She is such a doll. If you're sick, Lori's there. If you need help, Lori's there. She gives the very, and I know all three of us will agree, the best presents in the world. You get a bag with 500 things in it.
Yep.
A million things that you thought you'd never need. Then you get it and you go, oh, that's so cool. I can really use that.
Yeah.
Right?
She's just thoughtful.
She's very thoughtful.
You're writing thank you emails. Gee, that was a great show. You guys really gave some good information. Just so encouraging.
Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, she's the best. And so, Lori, we all love you, Lori Bridgeford. We think you're amazing.
Yes, we do.
And, yes, you can call in whenever you want, hon.
Her thoughtfulness does not go unnoticed,
even though
we may not always talk about it.
Right.
That's right.
She gave me the scarf from around her neck at Christmas.
That's right. She did. Yeah.
I mean, that's right? Right? I mean,
totally,
she's amazing.
She had it warmed up.
What a nice lady. She's always been like that. I've been trying to find fault for years.
Well, just,
there isn't any.
Just ask two or three people in town, and they could tell you all of
their faults. Oh, those people.
They need some heavy reflection there.
She even offered to help them.
Yes, she did.
It's like unbelievable. Anyway, Lori, we all love you, and you're awesome. Happy Valentine's Day. Now,
yes,
going to get into our program, and I guess we'll start with let's start with District 1 for Supervisor. We have Kevin Cry, we have Aaron Reznor, and we have Rich Gallardo. Thoughts?
Well, obviously, Kevin Cry comes with the experience. He has already served a term on the board, although you may call it two-thirds of a term or three-fourths of a term because he spent the first year fighting off a recall.
Yes. And he was successful at that.
Yes.
Seems and to be always fighting off something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's recall someone before they've even won the election.
Yes.
Let's recall someone before they've even taken the oath of office.
Yeah.
It was insanity.
Yeah, that was happening before he even was sworn in.
Yeah, well, if he wins, we're going to recall him. Why?
Well, I know why.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know why they wanted to recall him, because if they recall Kevin Cry, it would give Patrick Jones just two instead of three.
Yep.
And they wanted to get Patrick. But there was no way you were going to get Patrick off that board at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no way that people were going to ever vote him off in his district.
Well, thank God he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly, thank God he was there.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have him on our show, I believe, next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be talking about the court cases and that sort of stuff, I do believe.
Okay.
But we'll have him on next week. And then on March 1st, we're going to have Dan Scoville, who is the commander of the militia, and Mark Baird on. Mark will be calling in, and we'll be talking about freedom, liberty, and all that good stuff. Anyway,
awesome.
Getting back to Kevin, I think that you know, as you said, he's got the experience. I know what he's trying to do with Dr. Danuka with the school, with the medical school is a good thing. My only challenge with the medical school, I want to see how you guys feel about it, is they keep talking about how the sixth graders through eighth graders could be great doctors someday. Well, that's like 15 years from now, and we have the crisis now.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a little more expediency on how we get medical care here in this county now.
We agree. We're a deficit in that, and anybody out there that's trying to get medical care, they know that. They understand that. Or the quality that you get sometimes isn't what it should be. Things are missed, easy things that are missed. So that happens, you know.
Medical care in this country is in terrible shape. We have too many illegal aliens coming in, putting pressure on the system for free medical care.
That's right.
Or just medical care in general. I mean, how many doctors do we have? We have a shifting population in which we don't have a huge baby boomer group coming through to become doctors. We have a shrinking population in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
It is so expensive to go to medical school. Our educational system has so declined that not as many students are qualified to go to medical school. It's just a compounding factor.
Especially with the education component, where things are dumbed down so much, then there's no way students that could be and would be good candidates for becoming a medical professional aren't qualified enough because they didn't learn what they needed to learn when they were in the lower grades.
Exactly. And we also have an insurance problem. Who wants to become a doctor and fight with insurance companies
right.
and the insurance system and the Obamacare programs? It's just, there's no incentive to become a doctor.
Well, I think that there are still people that want to be doctors. I think the main issue here for us in Shasta County is the fact that they don't stay here. You know, we want them to stay here. And, you know, it's sort of like the idea of having a medical school here, at least from what I heard from Dr. Danuka, is that people here become educated, become doctors, then come back here and practice.
Right.
I think that's, or get educated here and stay here and practice. You know, and I think that's a lot of it. I remember probably, I don't know, we were on a show 10 years ago, and we were talking about how, you know, the kids just leave Reading. They leave Reading, and they leave Shasta County to go somewhere else to get a job.
And they leave California.
Exactly. They leave the state now.
That's a newer standard. Yeah,
yeah,
but you're right, 100%, Mama J.
Yeah.
They do leave now. And so you have that. So the idea of a medical school, I think, is good. I'd like to see some expediency on getting better medical health here. But, you know, one of the things, I guess, that happens, if you're already established and you move here as a doctor with your family, you're going to love it here. I mean, what's not to love? The area's great. There's fun. There's fishing. There's hunting. There's water sports.
Yeah, lakes on the mountains and everything.
Lake, mountains, everything, you know, and it's a great environment. And even although we have our challenges here in Shasta County, it's still a much safer environment than you'd be in Oakland.
Yeah.
So the idea of that is something, and so I like that, but talking about things a candidate has done, Kevin Cry did put forth the charter, you know, got that on the ballot to vote for a charter, and then his opponent, Rich Gallardo, went out and helped get 10,000 signatures That's nothing to sneeze at. Those guys got 10,000 signatures for the initiative.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you know, if you look at Richard Gallardo as a candidate, Richard is not a lazy man.
No, he's not.
No question about it.
No.
He, you know, the guy goes.
He's energetic.
Well, not only that, and he does research, and yeah, there's people who have issues with his personality, and there's people who have issues with Kevin's personality, and I don't, who's the other, oh, Aaron Reznor. If she had a personality, oh, no, I don't mean that. But yeah, she does have a personality. It's just that the thing is that when you look at a candidate like Richard Gallardo, I mean, he is out there. Whether he's viable or not, you certainly have to admire his work ethic when it comes to him going out, getting signatures for this, backing something. He worked hard during the recall. He did a lot of good things, mm-hmm. you know, and Kevin, being the incumbent and already there, has the experience. So, and then you have Aaron Reznor. And Aaron, you know, she's
currently sitting on city council, correct?
Well, and she's also, she's also the treasurer of, the Children's Legacy Center. She's on the board and the treasurer.
Oh, say it isn't so.
No, it is so. And so there's a lot of things about Aaron Reznor that, you know, you can either like or not like. She's involved with Turtle Bay.
She's a businesswoman in town, is that correct?
Yeah, she's a businesswoman. And you know, Aaron Reznor, way, way, way back when we started the Tea Party, was one of the original people who came to every meeting, and we used to go to dinner, every Monday night, because we'd have a meeting every Monday. This is mm-hmm. 2009, 2010,
right.
11. And she was with us just about every Monday. And I don't know, then we lost track of her for a year, maybe 2 years, and all of a sudden, you know, it seemed as if her positions on a lot of things had changed to where they were a little more left. I mean, what I just mentioned were, you know, I mean, Turtle Bay, and, yeah, I mean, it's a little left. Mm-hmm. And it was surprising. I don't know whatever happened there. I'm really curious. I'd really like to know how the transformation went. Now, her and her husband, who's really a nice man, mm-hmm. Own how many Dutch Brothers? Like 8 of them or something?
That's just here in Reading.
Yeah, they own a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, she's as a businesswoman, I mean, you can kind of go either way, I guess, when you look at city council and what the city council has done. Some people may advocate saying she's done some things. Some people may advocate and say, what has she ever done, or has she done some things that are detrimental? Well, if you look at her budget, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know that much about her because I'm not in the city of Reading, so I don't follow that closely.
Well, it's kind of it's a bit of an enigma, you know, and I don't know where she would go on this. I don't know where she would go on the board, you know. There's 3 of them running, so right. You're probably not going
to
be...
Have any invite extended out there to come in and tell us?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I am.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. For her to come in and tell us and let us know what she's thinking, how she wants to approach it. And you have a full hour to do that.
Yeah.
Uninterrupted, you tell us what you want to tell us.
Right.
Yeah.
My biggest, most recent issue for the board in general is the vote on the cameras. What were they thinking?
I would
love to hear a good explanation that's going to change my mind and think, oh, well, yes, then the cameras are great. So how would Aaron Reznor have voted on the cameras if she were on the board?
I believe that she was for Measure A, wasn't she?
I have no idea, but I know Rich Gallardo would not vote for the cameras.
He would not. He would not.
Invasion, you know, so privacy invasion there.
Yeah, and we're going to have Rich Gallardo on for an hour,
okay.
And we'll have... you know, and again,
any one of the candidates,
yeah. And you got the full hour with a half an hour break there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that District 1 is going to be an interesting race. It probably is going to could go to November, maybe not. It depends.
Well, top two move forward, so depending on how that plays out, unless one of them gets 50% plus one, you know, that's how it rules.
Yeah. You're right.
So we'll see.
These days does not seem to happen very often.
No.
Well, with three running.
So split.
Yeah. Well, with three running, it makes it harder.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's probably going to go until November.
Because, you know, and I don't know. And of course, you know, with all the controversy we have and whether our elections there was cheating or not. I mean,
All that
stuff entering in, we don't really know whether, Kevin won by 90 votes, or maybe he won by 190 votes.
Right.
We don't know. Nobody knows, really. I mean, we don't. Maybe we do now. We don't know here. If you know, you can call into 530-605-4567.
But make sure you have the receipts if you're telling us anything.
Yeah, exactly. 530-605-4567. So as we look at District 1, you know, this might be the most important supervisor race that we have going, you know, as far as the future of Shasta County. I think that there are some things that are in place. I believe that our budget's in pretty good shape in Shasta County, unlike the city of Redding. See, that's another issue right there. I mean, you know, Kevin is on that board that is keeping our head above water.
A question for Aaron Reznor.
Yeah.
You have so messed up the budget for the city of Redding. What are you going to do when you come to the county? Are we going to expect the same sort of discombobulation with our budget?
Good question.
Well, we may have to phrase that a little differently.
Well, in a nutshell, that's what it boils down to.
You don't like my terminology.
Well,
love your terminology. I don't know if she will.
That's the thing. You know, you're currently sitting on a board, and you're not calling for a forensic audit.
Yes.
A forensic audit would simplify everything. It would tell you everything. You would find out everything. Oh, wait, do you already know everything? You're just not willing to share it. And I'm talking about all 5 city council members, past and current.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that needs to happen, plus the staff that runs it. They know. So a forensic audit would truly explain everything. And with the power of the forensic audit, there is arresting power with that. So I, for one, support that 100%, because then that can be used in a court of law for reprimanding those who were responsible for their failure to manage and be the good stewards of the money for the city.
And that they knowingly knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they know.
See, that's
they
the
know.
Yeah, that's the
people that do know, they know. There may be some people that are ignorant to it, say, i.e. city council. They're not told certain things, so how were they to know? But if they're not even asking, I have a problem with that.
Well, Tanessa was asking.
Oh, Tanessa's been all over it. Yes, she has. She's tried to expose everything she can, and she's meeting with resistance from the staffers that do it.
If you don't agree with Tanessa's analysis of the budget, then stand up and say how she's wrong.
Right.
But so far, all I've seen is that they stand up and say, no, we don't want to hear it. Go away.
Right.
Well, there are questions. And with Aaron Reznor running for a county office away from the city, I have those same questions.
Right.
How are we going to be assured that you will be more accountable at the county level for a budget than you have been at the city level?
Right.
Well, you know, the thing is that the one thing I think that just in looking at Aaron Reznor's resume, what her past is, being a businesswoman, Child's Legacy Center, all that good stuff, you would think that she, whatever she's done with the budget, she thinks she's done the right thing. And, you know, I mean, you can't really, if you vote for something, you think you're doing the right thing.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Well, exactly. Right. Well, actually, where I'm going with that is that she's believing she's doing the right thing, but it's clearly been the wrong thing. Now, it seems as if, at least the last couple of, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I was watching, some interaction between Tanessa and Aaron Reznor, and it seemed like there was kind of an alliance there. Now, oh, there's something wrong with the budget. Well, howdy doody, right? You know, and it's like,
welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party. And so, I mean, that's either a really smart political move on Aaron Reznor's part in going with someone like Tanessa, who arguably has a pretty good popularity among conservative voters.
Right.
And that's a pretty good political move on her part, but it's kind of like, come on, you.
How are you asking to get it fixed?
Yeah, well, didn't you know that anyway? I mean, you run this business, you have all this stuff going. How can you not know and be responsible about what you're looking at? If anybody would have any idea of the budget, it would be her or Dr. Danuka. Those two.
Right.
If anybody really, I mean, Mums, you know, and the other guy, what's his name? Lafco?
I have no idea.
Lafa?
City of
that guy. Anyway,
City of Redding. I'm not that familiar.
Anyway, he's. I know that we had him in to a meeting and talked to him and knew very little about, well, in your question, Mama Jay, which you would always ask, have you read the California Constitution, United States Constitution, and that sort of thing. Constitutionally, it was disappointing.
Another concerning issue for me is the fact that Aaron Reznor was treasurer of the Children's Legacy Center. So she's the one who endorsed the check that came from the fire fund that Stephanie Bridget shifted that direction.
Or deposited it.
Yeah. With, I guess, oh, great, we've got all this money. I mean, at some point, did someone not say, wait a minute, is this really what should be happening? Mm-hmm. So that's another issue that should be asked. And I'm completely unbiased here because I don't live in the city of Reading. I'm not in District 1, and I'm not in District 5. So I don't have a dog in this hunt other than whoever gets elected to the board represents the entire county with their vote, not just my district.
Correct.
I guess it was Mike Latow who's the mayor.
Yes, yes.
Latow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I kind of scratch my head because all these, well, Mike Latow's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I mean,
how do you not ask the real questions?
Yeah.
Just wondering, how in the world do you possibly...
Are you that casual with your own business finances?
Right, yeah.
Do you not audit yourself and your employees and what is happening with your business?
Yeah, I don't understand. I truly don't understand how people don't treat government agencies as business. I mean, smart, you have to look at what our president's doing. He's treating it, the country as a business. He's cleaning house where he can, and he's trying to get the people that represent us to do the same, but he's got processes he has to go through. Unlike the city council, there are five of them that can, all they need is three to vote.
Yes.
And they give directive to the staff members, and if the staff members are insubordinate by not taking through and doing those actions, then guess what? Their fanny goes out the door.
That's right.
And my new favorite word is accountability.
Yes.
Lewis, what say you, sir? Or Lewis.
Bruce.
Oh, Bruce.
Oh, Bruce. Okay.
Good morning, Bruce.
He wrote Lewis on here.
Bruce.
It's Bruce. Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing well. Just real quick, I think it'd be a disaster if Aaron Reznor is supervisor. And it's very concerning that the election with her and Kevin previously was very close, obviously, and he barely won. But now, you know, I respect Richard Gallardo, and I like a lot of things he stands for, but I don't see him garnering any of Aaron Reznor voters. But he's going to votes from Kevin Cry, and I'm just really concerned that Aaron Reznor could end up being our supervisor, very likely. And that'll be a disaster for the county based on our performance at the city, and just very concerning to me. And I think Richard should stand back and maybe run in 4 years, but not right now. It's too critical. We got to maintain that majority on the board, or we're back to the Modi days.
Yeah, we do have term limits now. With the board, and that's something that these guys should all be considering. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing, while I have you on the line, Bruce, I have a question for you. What district are you in, if you don't mind saying?
District 1.
Okay, so.
You are a constituent.
I'll be voting for Kevin Cry.
Sure, and, you know, and that's you know, either way, that's a good vote, I think. But the thing is that I think in District 1, there's a lot of people unlike yourself, that are non-informed voters, and also that has people that you know, it's also a newer district when it comes to people who haven't lived here very long. And if you see a flyer with Aaron Reznor coming to your mailbox, and it has her on there with her family, with her husband, business owner, you know, she has helped the children, she has this, she has that, couldn't even say she's conservative. I mean, I'm not sure that I would believe that. But because we have the uninformed voter, we have 84% of those people. I'm not really sure whether Richard Gallardo, I mean, I agree with you. I think that there shouldn't be three. But by the same token, I mean, with what she just did with Danessa, could have swayed some of those people who just aren't to things like you are, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's true, but I've been disappointed in the voters in Shasta County.
You think?
Happens we all. Yeah.
Well, especially the primaries. Especially the primaries. They tend to leave that alone, and then they wait for the November
vote. And
that's
the most important election.
And that is always
the most important. Well, I was trying to figure out how long got in. How long get in, Bruce? I mean, I've been here. I think you've been here.
Oh, my God.
How long get in?
Did you really get in? I mean, the 14-vote issue is...
Yeah.
I don't even know who the guy was. I've been in District 2 forever. I mean, I've lived in District 2 since 1977. So, I mean, in that area. So, I mean, I've seen them all. And I myself was an uninformed voter at one time and voted for Modi, I hate to say it, but way back when he first ran, you know. I got a flyer. It said, you know, Notre Dame graduate, conservative, police chief, good family man, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, that's it. Come on, kids, let's go. Jesse's got basketball. Or, you know, Clayton has soccer, you know. And I think that happens to a lot of people. And
yes, reading headlines and banner ads is not enough. You got to dig.
That's right. Yeah,
but not enough of us do that, my friend. I know you do.
Yeah, Bruce definitely does. Yes, you know, he does.
And you're great at that, brother. But the thing is that a lot of people just don't. And that's the problem. We have uninformed voters.
It is. It's a problem here and nationally.
But how the hell did Long get in? I didn't even know who the guy, I mean, he was a cop. All right. So he gets in and he wins by 51%. And I mean, I think I saw four signs. I mean, how did that happen?
I agree. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Was the vote legitimate? I don't know. It makes you wonder.
I don't know.
It's just hard to believe.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And
we're
going to have to go off to our break here. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Reading and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
For homeowners that are planning to list a property for sale, when should they start preparing and what key steps should they prioritize during the initial stages?
You know, that's actually a really good question. We've learned that the most successful sellers will actually get started early. So they'll normally meet with us long before spring and really identify what types of home improvements they might want to consider so they can maximize their value when they bring the home to the market. We'll also discuss things like marketing strategy, what types of things we want to do to maximize the benefit when we start promoting it up and down the state and across the country. And the final thing we'll do is have a broad stroke conversation around price. Just knowing that we'll actually refine that price at the very end, just before we get live, so we can maximize every penny possible.
Go online to readinghomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Hi, this is Carrie Grell. From the heart behind Organic Pilates, I want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created for intentional living. We offer apparel, wellness, and everyday pieces designed to support how you move and how you live. Harmony, where movement meets intention. We're located at 1264 California Street. We're in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to welcome you in.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Way to go, Sally.
We're flying the danger zone.
Before we get to District 5, I have a question. Nationally, Trump has said that we are going to get voter ID, and either it's passed through the legislature or he's going to do it by executive order. Has anybody heard how he plans to do that by executive order?
Article 2, an emergency.
Okay.
Because he believes we're being interfered with by foreign governments.
Okay. That
answers it. That's his gig. I don't know if, I mean, you know, again, we can't keep running the country on emergency.
No, we can't.
Orders and executive orders and.
And why the Democrats would not vote for voter ID when it's at the worst, a 70-30 issue.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
At best, 99-1.
Yeah.
Why
everybody
would
wants
vote
it, yeah.
against this?
You know, it harkens back to 13848, I believe, executive order about foreign interference with elections.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, when you look at the, and I mean, okay, I don't think we even need that, Shasta County. We've got. I think a lot of counties and a lot of states could do that all on their own without foreign interference. Anyway,
yeah.
District 5. We have Kevin. Oh, excuse me. We have Chris Kellstrom.
And again, our returning
right
person, our incumbent.
Yep, and we have Gary Oxley, and we have Mike Gallagher. Now. Chris is the incumbent, and, you know, Chris, you know, some attributes he really has is the fact that he really gets into his district. I mean, he does a lot of what I call a LaMalfa-ism, and I mean that in a very good way.
Yes.
I mean, Doug was everywhere. I mean, he was, like, at every event, and Chris does that, too. Chris gets with the people, talks with the people, takes time to do that. Has breakfast with them, goes to lunches, goes to everything.
He's connected.
And so I think, and again, that's something I think where a lot of people are missing the boat. District 1's a little different because it's sort of in an area, sort of hoity-toity to a degree, but almost, you know, a little more standoffish than some place like District 5 that's a little more of a blue-collar type of district. And I think that, you know, when you look at someone like Chris, who does that kind of thing, I think that you know, he's helped a lot of people, and he's engaged in a lot of stuff. So that's, you know, that's a plus.
I will also say this about Chris: I live in District 3, and Chris has been working on different projects and issues that involve District 3. So he does not just limit himself to his own district.
That's right.
He truly is a person who's out there for the entire county.
Yeah, I think
he
so.
Knows
yeah.
what's going on in the county, and he works with my supervisor, Corky Harmon, to get some things done that are a problem and an issue in District 3.
And they're mutual. The way I understand it, they're also mutual. The same. There's a lot of those same problems in District 5 that
yes.
are in District 3, and so that's the way to do it, I think. And you're right. When you look at something like Chris, though, like Chris understands, and that's something else that I think some of the supervisors, especially the new ones that are running, it's more about your constituents in the district you're in. And again, that's why the long thing is just an anomaly to me. I mean, nobody knew who the heck the guy was.
Okay.
And so it's when you look at what goes on in your own district, those are the only people that can vote for you. Are the people in your district.
Right.
You know, as much as we may want a certain candidate in 1 or 3 or whatever, 1 or 5, I don't think there's any of us in this room here that can vote. Now, I know Gary Oxley came in to the Shasta County Republican Assembly, and Gary came in to talk to the Shasta County Republican Assembly, and there might have been, I don't know, 35, 40 people there, something like that. But there was only two who actually could even vote for the guy. You know, and so... It really is a matter of understanding some of the things in your own district when you're running for office
mm-hmm.
that are going to, you want to help. It's not that you're not going to be, you know, 20% of everything else. You're 1 in 5, of course.
Right, right.
But it is your particular district, and it's like, okay, there's some issues here in our district here, folks. This is what I plan on doing about it. And that's what I want to hear from some of these candidates when they come on.
Right.
What are you going to do for the district you're in?
Yeah, but for not just your district, but for the entire county. It's all enmeshed. I heard Gary Oxley, and I was very impressed with the consistency with which he brings forth his views on different issues. He's not all over the place. He has a specific guideline, and every issue fits into his guideline and what he believes. So it was a refreshing presentation that he actually has thought things through. He's not just off the cuff.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I think that Gary's a good man. I think he's honest as the day is long. Gary is if you're looking at the high integrity person, it's Gary Oxley, no question. It's kind of like there could be an argument with Gary Oxley in the fact that he really doesn't know the job. But you may not know the job, but if you're willing to learn it, if you're willing to step into it and learn it to a degree, you have to know something. But if you're willing to learn it and you're honest, and you're someone who can be trustworthy, that's going to enter in there somewhere, because I think there's a couple of candidates that we won't mention at this point that are running that you kind of scratch your head about, the trust issue. Mm-hmm. It's a big issue.
Well,
maybe the biggest.
Corky Harmon in District 3, by his own admission, he didn't know the job before he got it.
Yeah.
He would very honestly say, I don't know about that. I don't know. But I think he was elected based on his friendship with people and his honesty.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yes. He was not my first choice, but.
No. Well, no. There was somebody else that we know that was kind of our first choice.
Definitely
but.
Was. I am glad that Tim Garmon dropped out. I get embarrassed for people who don't know when it's time to pick up the football and go home.
Right, right. And it makes you wonder who they're listening to.
Yes.
And who's, harping in their ear, chirping at them, saying, hey, you need to do it, you need to do it. And for the only reason that they would be doing it is to thwart the election against somebody else in that race.
Yes.
And so whoever that might be and whoever those people are that are chirping in his or others' ears to do that, just back off. Just let it happen the way it needs to happen organically and cleanly with the constituency of that specific district. They'll make the right choice.
I don't think he was a particularly effective supervisor when he was in office.
No, he did some really heinous things. And when you are running up on the dais against a candidate a fellow board member, and you're wearing a shirt that says, down with them.
Yeah.
And you got played by the other person who said that they were the same way, but they failed to wear their shirt into the meeting.
Yeah, he wanted to recall Kevin Cry.
A total lack of judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like, we're not in sixth grade anymore. Let's not act like that.
It's hard to get a rise out of Mike Mangus.
Yeah.
But he just, what is that guy doing? Holy macaroni and cheese. Anyway, talk about macaroni and cheese. Richard, what say you?
No, my name is Dick.
Hey, Dick.
Well, it says Richard.
Richard Wilkinson.
I'd like to reinforce something you said earlier about Lori Bridgeford. She's a very generous, thoughtful person. She always remembers her birthdays and sends a little Christmas gift. She's very thoughtful. And I have nothing to say about elections. That's it. Goodbye.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Dick. Dick Wilkinson, again, he should get the Lori Bridgeford Award.
Oh,
another
yeah.
guy in yep. our county. He and Fran, his wife, they're just Dick Wilkinson is top drawer, along with Frank Rose. Those two guys.
Well, and for many reasons too, because Dick has been doing, everybody knows the Red Barn, all the lights, the Salvation Army can out there. That's Dick, and he and his wife Fran have been doing that for years, and they do a stellar job every year. And he's in his 90s out there doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it. He looks like he's 25, but he's in his 90s out there doing that.
Well, the reason I say that is because, the way I understand it, he was at Bunker Hill.
oh, he's only in his 90s.
Yeah, he's at Bunker Hill. Dick's been around a while.
But yes.
I was just a child when he was fighting on the hill.
Well, I'll tell you, Dick Wilkinson is just the best person in the world. He is just the Salvation Army. Generous.
Yeah. Oh,
generous.
Yeah.
Insanely generous.
Yep.
Helpful, honest, fun. Extremely funny, crazy funny,
yep.
Wonderful guy.
And if he has a ticket to sell, you better buy one.
That's right.
And no, you can't call back and sell tickets, Dick. We love you.
One call a day.
One call a day. We love you, buddy.
We have these people who fly under the radar as far as recognition goes, like Lori and Dick Wilkinson.
Right. Yes.
And it's good to give them their due.
That's right. Absolutely.
I think that one thing we have to be looking at in supervisors, especially going to District 3, is there's a lot of idealism that people may have.
District 5, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from what I understand, Mike Gallagher, who's running, and of course that's a famous name, mm-hmm. heating and air conditioning, and he is on the city council of Anderson right now. I guess I'm not so sure how their budget's holding up. I think that they're in trouble. In fact, I heard yesterday that they might be in the red. If I'm wrong, someone call. But I
California's in trouble.
Yeah, we are in big trouble.
Yeah, the whole thing.
But anyway, I think that you know he's lived here since 1986. He was born in Las Molinas. And I think that, he also, he and his wife have also, helped with a home for at-risk members of the community. Seems that his heart's in the right place. But again, I think we have some idealism going on here. That's one thing that's kind of hard when you're running for supervisor. You have to have some specificity in what you want to do within your jurisdiction.
Right.
You know, I know that when we heard Gary Oxley, there's a lot of good platitudes, a lot of good points. But really and truly, what can you do here? And is that your jurisdiction? And if it is or not, how do you get to it? And why are we even going there? You know, the thing is that there's a lot engaged in someone's position as they run for a particular position.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that first and foremost. At least that's what I would want from my supervisor, is to understand how things work. And I think that, again, yeah, you can learn, but I mean, you know, you also can, you know, you need to have something. I'll never forget Gary Cadd. Gary Cadd went to city council meetings for 4 years. I think he maybe missed one meeting. And the guy went and he learned what it was he was supposed to do
mm-hmm.
in the job that he was wanting to be elected to, the position of city council member. And when he got on that city council, that guy was the most educated person on it and did some great things and he's the one who brought to light the problem with the budget to begin with and the unfunded liabilities and all that stuff. So I think that there's something to be said. It's one thing if you're, you know, okay, God, family, country, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, okay, let's talk about some specificities. You know,
and if you're going to be on the Board of Supervisors, you're not going to influence education.
No.
In Shasta County. That isn't going to be where you can do anything. So recognize that you may have a particular fondness for an issue, but it may not come under your jurisdiction.
Right. And that's always the danger. You know, people get up there and they've got this list of things that they want to do to make the world better, but they have no jurisdiction to do it from that position.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you can do it as a private citizen like everybody else. You can go out and do your picketing or whatever you're going to do, but you have no way of making the course be changed by a vote by sitting on the Board of Supervisors.
And if you don't go to board meetings regularly, how can you take a stand on when the public comment should be handled or how? Or
how, yeah.
If you've never experienced it, how can you make a decision
on
that?
Yeah, it's a problem.
See, and that's what I don't understand, too. You know, some of these people that, like you said, have run and won, and then they come in and they haven't been there. It's like then they're shocked how people treat them. Well, why are you shocked? If at the very least you should have been watching it online to hear and hearing it online, at the very least.
Yes.
But you have to be in the room. You have to experience what's going on. I sat in the back of that room for 6 years, just listening, watching, and hearing, and just going, oh my, shaking my head and like, why are we doing this? You know, just every time I was there, because the times that I was there, it was very volatile. We had recalls going on. We had all kinds of stuff going on. And the opposition and just people that are, as we are all now knowing that they're crazy, are doing their thing. You know, and it's the little things that are said in the room that are not picked up by maybe the microphone or they're not addressed by the board, but you can still hear them happening in the room and you can hear the little conversations. And some of these people, they whisper just loud enough to paint the room so everybody understands what's going on.
Or the body language.
Body language.
Throwing yourself back in the seat in frustration and disbelief at what somebody says.
Walking out the door and trying to slam the doors that have the pressure things on them, and they can't slam the door, but they slam them open. They'll push them open really hard or whatever, but they get really aggressive, or they're standing back in the room with a picket or some signage, you know, you know, with their message they're trying to convey, which is always questionable. But you just see those things, and you have to experience those things. You have to be present and understand what's going on. So when the time comes and you're sitting in one of those five seats, you have a better understanding on how to respond, how to react, what to say, what not to say, and when to keep, just keep your mouth shut. Just let them tell their story, because their story will eventually tell itself on them. And so you just kind of sit there and just listen, and knowing, like you said, how to respond during the course of public comment. You know, there are times when you can respond, there are times when you absolutely cannot.
So, and when you have one person on the other side getting mad at two other people on the other side, mm-hmm. and if the letter F were not in the dictionary, yeah. you would not be able to speak.
Yeah.
You know that not all is well on the opposition.
That's right.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, I don't like the two-minute thing. I don't care who it is. I don't like the two-minute. Patrick Jones, when he was the chairman of the board, gave 3 minutes and then asked if anybody else wanted to speak. And, yeah, I'm not really sure that the meetings were any longer than they are now. They're still really long. And, you know, we can listen to sometimes one of the supervisors, you know, bloviate for 5 minutes mm-hmm. about something or an issue or something, or go back and forth about something. You know, I mean, they went through this whole ordeal where Long was going off about Clint Curtis, you know, and all this electioneering business and everything. It wasn't even their jurisdiction. There was nothing they could do. All that sort of stuff, right, wrong, or indifferent. The point is that 2 minutes of public comment sucks. You should have 3 minutes of public comment, and even if you don't like what they're saying, sometimes you just can't get it out. There's a lot of important issues, and I watch those usually, not in there, but in my home. If I'm not there, I'm going to watch it there. If I'm not at the meeting, I'm going to watch it at home. And most of the time, I watch it at home, because a lot of times some people will get up, and frankly, I'd probably get kicked out. Because the other thing is that when you see maybe you clear your throat too loud and you're booted out, right. or you can, that's your one warning. I don't think that bodes well. I also think on behalf of that, I understand why that's being done and why it's just one and done is because of the outrageous things those people do. They're yelling at other people while they're speaking. They're interfering. You would think if everybody was just courteous, that would never even have to be a rule. Right. I mean, if you don't like what they're saying, but people need to have 3 minutes, because I've heard people talk about different issues, you know, with children and things like that, and they're cut off in 2 minutes. I mean, the 2 minute thing sounds draconian to me. Well,
it was 3 minutes forever, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, 2 minutes now.
I know it is.
Kevin
now.
Kevin started that. And
I know.
Chris
I know.
Has now taken it to 2 minutes, and I think that's terrible. I really do. I mean, I'll just say it. I'm not saying anything to reflect on anybody's personality or anything about the person, but 2 minutes is draconian. There's no question about it. Mm. And some of the things I hear cut off, I'm amazed.
And when you're sitting there in the audience thinking, no, wait, what was he going to say?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I want the thought finished. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's terrible.
It is.
It's our meeting. We are the people. We own the meeting.
Right.
We have a right to hear what our fellow citizens want to say.
That's exactly right.
The feeling in there is that it's not in a lot of cases. Right now, I don't like the way that's going. I don't like the idea of one warning either. I don't like that. I mean, yeah, I get it. I understand it. And those people should be held accountable. But, you know, if somebody goes boo, that's your one warning. What if you sneeze? I just don't buy that. I think there should be two warnings. That's your first warning. Second warning, you're gone. I get that. Okay, because you've been warned. I mean, that's what happens if you're in a courtroom, a judge, because I know it had happened to me because I wasn't wearing a mask, okay, when I was in a courtroom, and you were supposed to during COVID and blah, blah, blah. So I had it down below my nose. And he said, if you need to put that all the way around your face, if you don't do that, that's your warning. If you don't do that, the next time I see that, you're gone. You know? I just think it should be, you know, I mean.
Well, the people who are getting kicked out have had 1,500 warnings.
Yeah.
And they're using the system.
Well, and they go up for every single item, excuse me, that the public can comment on. And they, they will stray so far from that particular topic that that item is about, or that discussion is about, and the chair tries to keep them on track, and they get all ranting and raving, and they do all their do everything. All they're doing is just stomping their feet, and they're being like a petulant child is what they're doing. And that's what I've seen over and over and over again. And I got really sick and tired of sitting there listening, wasting my time trying to be supportive of everybody to have to endure that for a few of these whack jobs that are out there.
Well,
I just got so sick of it.
If the issue is free candy for kids at Halloween, somebody is going to get up there and get mad at one of the supervisors and spend 3 minutes talking about how bad the supervisor is.
At what point did we think that freedom and liberty wasn't going to be messy? At what point did we ever think that freedom of speech is going to be, could be messy? So I think that again, and I want to reiterate on it isn't like one and done. It depend, I think part of it depends on where they're going to be. You know, if you're, you know, it's like, I can understand the warning and then you're gone. Okay, I can understand that to a degree, but again, to me, I think there has to be some sort of particular way of tolerance. I think that, you know,
I am all for free speech.
Yeah,
absolute proponent of free speech. Yeah. But your freedom to speak out ends when it infringes on someone else's. So if it's someone else's 3 minute turn at the podium,
that's true.
Then you do not have the right to say anything from the audience. That is not free speech when you are yelling out from the audience.
That's just harassment.
Yeah. That person has the right to free speech because they are standing up there giving their 3 minutes.
We've actually had them do the same there where they're harassing people that are speaking at the podium, which is the place in the room, the position in the room to do your public comment. You get up there, you say your 2 or 3 minute speech, and or just have your moment, 2 or 3 minutes of silence. I've seen that a couple times.
Yeah.
And
it's your time.
And that's your time to do what you choose to do. Yeah. But then you have these people in the room that are making snide remarks, imposing their thoughts, which whatever they are, onto the person who's trying to speak, and it gobbles up that person's time, and it derails what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Some people just, it takes everything they have in the world to get up there and to say what they feel passionate about, but they're not public commenters, they're not public speakers, but they're doing it because they feel drawn to do it. So hats off to them. But then you have these people in the back of the room that are, like I said, acting like a petulant child, screaming out, saying things, doing whatever, cursing at these people that get up there, calling them horrible things. I've seen that happen over and over again. And it just makes you wonder why the parents of that particular person that was calling out from the room never gave them a good SWAT. I mean, you could tell who's never been disciplined.
Okay, so I would say the general consensus is, and after we've had this discussion, and all of us kind of took different sides on the discussion, that I think one warning and then you're gone is okay.
I have no problem with that.
One warning and you're gone is okay. All right. So now that we've explored that whole thing, that's a good move.
Yeah.
There's your first warning. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we all agree with that?
Well, there's no three strikes, you're out.
No. Yeah, there's no three strikes, you're out. Okay,
it's being common, having common courtesy.
Right.
It's being, treating your fellow citizens as you want to be treated.
Right.
And
so,
adults know the rules.
Yeah.
They know that once you are up, you cannot do that. And they say, oh yes, I'm an adult. I'm going to sit back and obey the rules. Well, if you can't, then you don't need to be at an adult meeting.
So Supervisor Kallstrom's process of the next one you're gone is good. We like that.
We all like it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So now that we've
He's being generous by giving him one.
We've all explored both sides. We've explored both sides of that. That's our consensus. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
The other thing is, do we agree that 3 minutes should be there and not just two?
I like three. I like three. You don't have to take three.
You don't have to take three, but I like three, too. I think you have to have three.
I've spoken several times, and it's difficult for me to get across an entire concept in 2 minutes.
Yes. And especially if you have to go into grave detail to support it, especially if it's something not everybody is aware of.
Yes.
I mean, you have to build the foundation so that they understand, okay, now I got it, boom, 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 and then by the time you get to where you really want to be, you're cut off. I mean, before you're even able to explain some of the things. So, yeah, I get it. 3 minutes is, I think, doable. And how many more minutes is that going to add to an entire meeting? two, three, 10.
Maybe 20 if you have 20 speakers, if 20. They take the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
We're out of time.
We are out of time.
Our 3 minutes is up.
That's because time has finally come
for Jefferson.
And we want to get it done so bad.
Amen.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Heart Day. Gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going off to the Syrian sky. Going off to the Syrian sky.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.